I was reading an article this past week by a woman whose name was Lillian Perner, or Penner. She's just one of those people that does Christian blogging on the internet, and she happened to make a statement that said, God uses people so that his purposes may be accomplished. She actually put out a few thoughts about the types of people and the people in Scripture that God had used, and I grabbed a few of her thoughts, and I'm adding some of my own to it. But just to point out for you why we do what we do when we talk about prayer. Throughout Scripture, throughout the whole story of Scriptures, God has always worked in and through people. From the very beginning, when he created Adam and Eve and put them in a garden, he gave them authority that in them and through them, the work that he had for the church and for his people might be accomplished. We can go back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 45. We see Joseph, one of the sons of the man who became Israel. He was sent by what he thought, at least originally, it looked like his brothers had sold him into slavery down in Egypt. And yet, through the circumstances of his life and his struggles down there, God raised him up out of slavery, out of prison, to become second in charge, second in command of all of Egypt. In fact, it was through him that the people both of Egypt and beyond were saved from famine. And at the end of that story in the book of Genesis, he makes this comment to his brothers. He said, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant. God moved in and through and worked through Joseph to bring salvation, really, physical salvation, to his own people as well as to Egypt. In the book of Exodus, chapter 32, Moses, having been up on the top of the mountain seeking God on behalf of the people, they at the bottom of the mountain, falling into idolatry, worshiping the golden calf. And God announces to Moses, saying, you know what, Moses, I'm done with this people. You and I will go and we'll start something new. We'll just, these people, let them go. And Moses intercedes on behalf of Israel, the Israelites. And through his intercession, God's name was glorified and his people were saved. In the book of Genesis, chapter 18, Abraham, having been visited by the Lord himself and his angels, Abraham intercedes on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah and really his nephew Lot, that through his intercession, Lot and those with him were saved from destruction. In the book of Esther, we see Esther standing in the gap to seek protection for her own people after Haman had planned their total destruction. And through her, God brought salvation to his own people. In the book of 1 Samuel, after the people of God, having rejected God as being their direct king and seeking a natural king, Samuel is broken and he's devastated. And yet he intercedes and speaks to God, and God speaks wholeness back into the life of Samuel. And Samuel, speaking back to the people, makes this comment. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, he says, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. In the book of Daniel, chapter 10, Daniel wrestling in prayer, as we call it today, seeking after the heart of God for days, wondering what's going on, not being able to see what was going on in the spiritual realm, and yet through his prayers of intercession, the message, the deliverance of God breaks through. And Daniel, without even knowing it, had entered into a spiritual warfare that was hidden from his sight, and yet he was every part of involved in that spiritual warfare that the angels unseen behind the realms were. We see in his life and in that intercession, we see that prayer does matter. And sometimes we have to pray and we have to continue to pray. When we don't see the answer up front, we continue to trust that God's word is true, that he's hearing our prayers, and that even though we can't see what's going on yet, that God will ultimately break through and bring deliverance, response to our prayers. In the book of Job, chapter 42, at the end of Job's life, having struggled with what was going on in his own life and having given unwise counsel by those that were called his friends, God pulls back the veil and breaks through and brings restoration into the life of Job. And God, speaking to Job's friends, in Job 42, chapter 8, says to his friends who had given him unwise counsel, he says this, "Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him so that I may not do to you according to your folly." Here we have a godly man that stood in the gap, God's judgment having been earned by his hand of correction being earned by his unwise friends, unwise counselors, and yet God points out that when a righteous man intercedes, that God is moved on behalf of that intercession. And we see that in the life of Job. One more place I wanted to point out was in the book of Acts, chapter 12. Peter, having been arrested, and he's locked up in prison behind the walls, behind the gates, and guards stationed, and yet the church goes to prayer and intercedes on behalf of him. And through their intercession, God sends forth an angel that brings Peter to deliverance. Angel goes down, Peter locked up in that dungeon, and yet the angel unlocks the doors. Peter and the angel walk past the guards, walk through the gates as they open up, and he shows up at the prayer with at the house where the intercession's going on, knocking on the door. Rhoda, one of the girls there, answers the door, answers the gate, and is shocked to hear it's Peter's voice. In fact, she's so shocked, she runs, she doesn't even let him in. She runs back to tell everybody that's back in the prayer room, "Hey, Peter's at the door." And like, their answer is, "You've got to be nuts. If he's really there, why'd you leave him? Where's he at?" Prayer makes a difference. And it's through the prayers, the intercession of God's people throughout time that God has moved. If we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve created in perfection, created in fellowship with God, and sin breaks in and tears the two apart, God and man, separated by a gap, separated by a gulf, separated by sin. That gap opens when they fail, and yet Jesus, through his life and through his death, and then through his resurrection and his continuing intercession, both in his life, both at the cross as he prayed for our forgiveness, all the way through the book of Hebrews chapter 7, when it says, "And he ever lives to make intercession for us." All of that shows how God uses his own people to pray and to bring about change and bring and to stand in that gap to bring those that are separated back to God. In fact, the concept of standing in the gap is introduced in scriptures in the book of Ezekiel 22. And it's demonstrated a little bit further in the passage that Muriel read for this morning. The idea being, as Muriel read, back in that day, typically you'd have a city and a wall of defense would be built around that city, built up of stones, and many times many feet thick. That would be the first line of defense. And yet, if there had ever been a breach, a broken area in the wall where the wall was torn down, that would be the place where the enemy would pour in and start to bring forth an assault. And in the book of Ezekiel, God says, in the midst of his own people, he looked out, and there was a gap in their wall, in the gap of there's a gap in the wall of protection that should have been around them, protecting their hearts, protecting their faith. And yet, because of so many things that had come against them, the wall was broken, and a gap was wide open, and the enemy poured in, turning the people of God away from him themselves. And today in our own society, we can look around, we can look in our schools, and we can see the concepts that our kids are being taught are frequently out of step with what reality is as far as God's concerned. Sometimes the truths that they're presenting in our school systems don't line up with the truths as they're revealed in the Word of God. Sometimes the things that they're to thrust upon them are so far outside of the perspective that God has that we would look at them and we would say a breach is opened in the wall. And the enemy of their souls is pouring in to turn their hearts and even their very lives. We see them being schools or war zones. And we today, as the people of God, are going to stand in the gap. we're going to stand and say, God, through us today, hear our prayers and use us as you did Joseph, as you did Abraham, as you did the church in the book of Acts. As God used them, let him use you today to intercede, to pray on behalf of our schools, on behalf of our administrators, on behalf of our workplaces, that in those places, the heart of God might be made known. Amen? So we're going to begin our prayer time. Our praise team is going to lead us in a song to open us up, and then we'll just begin praying. You can use a sheet that Lori put together for us. It's in the bulletin. When we come to these prayer times, Lori's our facilitator of those. So she put that together. You can follow that. Pray what's on your heart. We'll have some people come up, and they'll facilitate different sections. But just pray with us, and then we'll close at the end. Amen? Thank you.